Good evening and welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, November 18th, 2015. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Here.
Vice Chair Schultz?
Here.
Chairman Hill?
Here. Second item on the agenda is public comment for items that are not on the agenda this evening. Any member of the public is welcome to address the board on any item that's not on the agenda this evening. For those items that are on the agenda this evening, we'll have an opportunity before each of those items is decided to have public comment on those individual items. So if anyone would like to address us on items that are not on the agenda this evening, please come up.
I'll be first. My name's Leanne Akins. I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande, and I did sign in, so. With the impending $12 million upgrades and improvements to the SAN district, ratepayers are looking at an increase in the rates they pay. With the continued litigation, the costs which have accumulated up to this point, and the increasing costs associated with this litigation, those will also be passed on to the ratepayers. This is a fact members of the community have brought before this board at prior meetings. But maybe a different slant of this known fact will help the board recognize there are losers in the scenario of continued litigation. We should be looking at this from the lens of social justice and social inequality. The continued litigation has become an issue of social justice and social inequality because the wealthy, meaning the lawyers involved and the Wallace Group, are being subsidized by the middle class and the working class ratepayers of all three communities served by South Sanitation District. I did a little research on the per capita income of individuals in the three communities. The per capita monthly income for a resident in Oceano is $1,602. The gross rent paid in Oceano is $998 per month. This means that 62% of the per capita income, monthly income, in Oceano goes towards rent. The same could be said for the other two communities served by the district. Grover Beach comes in at 54% of the gross or the per capita income monthly being paid to rent, and Arroyo Grande comes in at 54%. So I ask, just with the cost of rent, putting a roof over a family's head in these three communities, is it viable to expect that the ratepayers in these three communities can continue to face rate increases, especially if the rate increases aren't necessary given the litigation? We know that the rate increases are necessary given the $12 million upgrades. That's a given. And I don't think anybody in any of the three communities would have a problem with the fact that rates are going to increase with those upgrades being put in place. But I think the question remains, do ratepayers also need to pay for the litigation? I think if you look at it from the lens of a social justice question, the answer is pretty glaring, and to me, the answer is no, we don't. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Ms. Price first.
Patricia Price, Arroyo Grande. I had several questions. First of all, when are we going to hear from Mr. Knudsen? I'm really anxious to hear his report. I know it's not on the agenda tonight, and I'd like to know when it is going to be on the agenda and where the when the public will hear that report. We've been waiting for it, I think, very patiently for ever since it started. The other thing is about the litigation. I have not been satisfied with any information coming back to me on what is going on in closed session. I would really like to know what the holdup is. Is there anyone who is working to end it? And there are people that are trying to keep it going or whatever. I'm really, it's suspicious to me that we're not getting any kind of a report to let us know what's going on. And then I wanted to comment about the last meeting and how I really appreciated the passion of the people that spoke. I personally am always looking for information coming from whatever person is speaking, information to back their argument or their position. There was a time when I believe the word is histrionics turned me off if somebody was getting excited about something and overly passionate, it turned me off. I'm not that. I don't do that now. I just sit back and wait for viable information that covers their point of reference or view, knowing there are many sides to arguments a lot of times, and I appreciate that. And I do appreciate the wide variety of people that get up and comment. I'm impressed by it, and I really do. I don't in any way want to say anything that might curb that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If my fellow board members would indulge me to answer your questions as best we can. I believe Mr. Knudsen, he's told us that he's not yet finished with his report, which is why it's not on this evening's agenda. We expect that it will be ready by the next meeting. Is that correct? So we had thought he might be finished in time for this evening, but was not. So I would anticipate, hopefully, he will be finished in time for the next meeting.
And that's December 9th? Is that the next one? The second.
And okay. Chairman Hill, I don't know when appropriate time is to ask the question about that, but will that report be released to the public first before it's released to the board, or will it be released in closed session and then released to the public? I mean, what if there's confidential information in there that about personal information? I mean, I don't know when to ask those questions. Certainly not under public comment, but, you know, we don't want to hurt anybody.
We were...
Do you have a comment on that?
The plan was to have council review it first to make sure that we don't release anything that shouldn't be released or any names that shouldn't be released. And it'd be up to the board how we release it, but the first step that our staff intended was to have council review to make sure that we're on any legal standing for anything we release or any names that are in there, and make sure we're not liable for any privacy violations.
Okay.
So that means he'd have to submit his report in advance of whatever meeting we're going to put that the report on. Is that legal counsel?
Good evening, Chairman, board members. Because of my relatively newness, I haven't had a chance to become familiar with the Knudsen report. I do understand the contents of it generally. What I suggest is that once it is released, that staff will meet with me, and then we'll decide the appropriate way to present it to the board, whether it's in closed session or an open agenda item.
Mr. Hill, would encourage somebody to communicate that to Mr. Knudsen?
Possibly. Council would be able to contact Mr. Knudsen, and we can get a estimate of when he would be done, and would be able to transmit that to you. I think Mr. Clements would be able to assist with you getting in contact with him. And then as far as your inquiry about the status of issues with litigation, we're hoping that after the session this evening that we would have a better understanding of that might be presented. Is that I see nodding indicating affirmative, so.
So. Is there anyone else that wants to?
Is there? Let's finish with public comment first, and then we'll entertain other questions. Ms. Spencer.
Thank you. Good evening. I just had one quick comment, and that was sort of to dovetail into what Ms. Price was saying, and that is, at the last meeting there was an item. Proposed motion or a motion made to kind of discuss the pending litigation or the ongoing litigation and tell us as much as we could hear. And I was very disturbed when that motion was removed from the dais and we didn't get to hear anything. So I'm encouraged maybe tonight we will learn. There's got to be something you can tell us for all the money we're paying. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McNeil, did you have a comment?
Yeah, so basically the last time I was here was when you hired your interim GM, and everyone understood it was a temporary situation. So I was wondering if, and in fact, the answer I got was that most likely by November you would have a permanent GM. So I was wondering what the progress is on that and how are you going about doing that? You know, have you hired a headhunter? Is it a consultant? Is it costing us money to find a new GM? So, yeah, basically that's my question. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the idea was that we would be in process with that in November, and I believe there's an agenda item speaking to that point this evening that hopefully will answer some of your questions as we go forward. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Debbie Peterson, I live in Grover Beach, and there was quite a lot of talk at the last meeting about our contract with... Our new counsel attorney, and I'm just wondering if that's something that could now be released since it's now been signed.
The answer is yes. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Ms. Lara.
I'm here with representing myself as a consultant. In regard to the recruitment, that's on closed session. So there wasn't going to be a report tonight on the agenda in regard to the progress. But I'd be happy to make comments if the board would so choose.
So maybe you can just talk what the process is.
Process, yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay. All right. So tonight we're meeting in closed session. To meet with the consultant that was hired. The board did approve to put out an RFP. We put out a request for proposals. We received the proposals. They were presented, the top, they were reviewed by myself and Mr. Clemens. We brought them back to the board for approval for the contract for that vendor. And now we're going to be meeting with the vendor to discuss what the board is looking for in an ideal candidate and get the recruitment officially started. They expect that interviews will be happening in probably January to maybe the first week in February, and then we will proceed from there. So the recruitment was going to reach far and wide, most likely up and down the state of California. I don't know if it's going to go western coast or not. So that'll be the pleasure of the board. And that's pretty much after that. Then if there is a top candidate, then you would follow up with second interviews. After second interviews, then we would do a background check because this is a sanitation district. We can't just do a reference check. It has to be a full-blown background check. And then you would negotiate an offer, draw up a contract, and then that individual would have to give notice to their current agency. And oftentimes at this level, it's a one-month notice. People don't usually give 2 weeks if they're the executive to a department or a division or an agency. So the process is lengthy. It's just the way that it's kind of the way the animal runs. But So I look to hopefully have somebody seated in the spring, early spring if we can. And we're going to impress upon, this board has already stated in public session that they wanted to impress upon the vendor that we want to be as expedient as possible with this recruitment.
Expedient and careful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Would anyone else like to address the board? Ms. Aiken.
This is not my prepared statement, obviously. I am concerned about the Knutson report and the release of that. I completely agree that privacy issues need to be taken into consideration, but I do believe that the report, barring those privacy pieces, needs to be released to the public as well. We are the ones who asked for it, and this is really a question of public trust. And whatever the action that the board takes is going to speak very loudly to the public with regards to that question of public trust. So I would just put that out there and hope that you consider that idea as you move forward with the release. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Price, did you want to make additional comment or?
That was pretty much what I wanted to say. We've been watching and we've been waiting, and it would be highly suspicious if that report were not released to the public. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, when I made that statement, I was not implying censorship nor tampering of the report in any sense of the word. What I was saying is to protect one's privacy and mainly employees, active employees' privacy. And I don't think that anybody in the audience would want to create any harm to existing employees' privacy. To imply censorship of a report is just ludicrous.
Well, I at the same time, I'm sympathetic to the concern of the public, and the
board
report
is the public.
Okay. It's taking a bit longer than we had originally expected.
I agree. It has taken much longer, and I agree with it.
So is public comment completed? I wanted to.
Yes. Unless anyone else would like to address the board, we'll close public comment.
And then I would like to just make the statement that I think folks who have been here since we authorized the Knutson study, we've all stated that it would be made available to the public. So it has never been the intent of this board not to. And I think, Mary, you asked some very good questions. And so we just have to figure out the best way to release that information with respect to when it's a personnel matter. But it's always been our intent to have that information or that report available to the public. And nothing's changed. So I just wanted to make sure people understood.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. I have a question on the item 3B, which is the warrants. So I'd like to address that separately. Is any questions or comments on the minutes?
Not for me.
Mary?
No.
Is there any public comment on the minutes, first of all, item 3A? Hearing none.
So I'll move approval of item 3A.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of the meeting of November 4th as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Item passes unanimously. Item 3B. I have a concern with this one, only in that it appears to be a typographical correction. I see the warrant register for the 4th, our previous meeting, November 4, and the warrant numbers, the sequential numbers there on the meeting of the 4th run from 11/4/15, which is the date of the meeting, 9/8/62 through 9892 inclusive, and there's a statement at the bottom about those serially numbered warrants. And then on this warrant register, the same numbers appear, which is 9862 through 92, plus two additional numbers. So I'm just concerned that the use of, although the date appears on one, but the idea that the numbers are not sequential is of concern. So that appears to be a typographical issue, I would think.
Is that something staff can confirm? I see ahead. She said yes. Okay. And that's your only concern
with
the warrants?
That's my comment on that. Is there any other questions from the board on the warrants?
No, I don't have any questions.
Mary? Is there any public comment on the warrants?
Good evening. My name is April McLaughlin. I'm a bookkeeper by trade, in case you didn't know that. So for the last few months, I've been looking at the warrants and asking questions and not always getting answers. So I did a really thorough investigation in the last few days, and I apologize. I wish I had done it earlier when more action could have been taken at the time. So these are the warrants since June of 2013, every single warrant. This part is June through December of 2013, when Mr. Matthew Haber was the bookkeeper in that general time frame, and Mr. Karp was the GM. As you can see, there are no yellow post-it notes on the side because every single number is sequential for six entire months. And then Mr. Haber seemed to have left in this time frame, and I believe we hired a temp at that time because there is a temp service that we paid, and we start seeing some problems, where there are missing numbers or there are duplicated numbers. And then in January, that's when Mr. Sweet. I would assume that he would be looking these over and confirming that they were done properly, and I don't see that. So from Mr. Sweet to today, we have roughly, I want to say, 95 duplicated warrant numbers. From January 2014 to today, we have 37 missing warrant numbers from January 1st of 2014 until today, all under Mr. Sweet until just very recently. One that really concerns me is a check to an attorney that was written that had no warrant number at all but was on the warrants. Where's the oversight? This is very concerning. And if this is what I can see just from public records requests and going on the website, what can't I see that's hidden? That's very concerning. Payroll, workers' comp, vacation, sick, PERS, I don't know. We outsource our payroll. We outsource our payables. We outsource our receivables. And we are also outsourcing our bookkeeping. What's happening inside that office? We've paid Jocelyn almost $10,000. To do the bookkeeping, to teach people how to do bookkeeping. And it's my understanding that the only reason we still don't pay Jocelyn Hodges to do this work is because she's too busy to do it, not because it's not needed. And I'm really concerned that in the entire year of 2015, when we employed her services, we did not have a contract in place until I asked for it, and then finally one appeared, dated about the time I asked for it, although Jocelyn's contract was dated January 1st. The district didn't sign it until September sometime. Where's the oversight? Where was your GM through all of this? This is very, very alarming. And I think that the board has a responsibility to oversee the GM that was supposed to be doing his job and was not. Please hire someone who is worth the salary we pay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, April.
Would anyone else have a comment on this item?
Nancy McNeil from Oceano.
Yeah, I believe it was during director, general manager Sweet's employment when Oceano's warrant for billing was also pulled. And I don't know that Mr. Sweet himself pulled it. I think it was an arbitrary action by some other staff member, perhaps. And obviously caused a great deal of chaos and some actually political gaming back and forth between this agency and Oceano. And so, yeah, where is the oversight? And who has the authority to pull a warrant and who doesn't? And has that issue been resolved in any way? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment?
Beatrice Spencer again, Arroyo Grande. I just wanted to say, I know, not being a fan of QuickBooks, this is another reason. No good piece of software should allow a duplicate entry, shouldn't allow a number to be used repeatedly. Every transaction should have its own audit code. It should all be able to be traced back. The fact that we're using software that allows this kind of inaccuracy to even occur is disturbing. And so maybe we need to take a look at something else. I'm just not sure this software that the district is using is really up to snuff when we're dealing with taxpayer monies. And also, well, I'll save my other comments for later. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. Comment or a motion to proceed?
Comment on what was just said?
Comment on the warrants. The I'll start if no one else
why
will.
Why don't you want to start? Okay.
Obviously, I've expressed my concern that the numbers that were used, the sequential numbers, supposedly sequential numbers from the 4th, appear to be duplicated in large degree on this warrant register, with the exception that there is a date stamp on it, 11/18. 15 and 11/4/15, but it still seems to me that having sequential numbers is very important to ease of recognition that the bills are being paid in sequential order, that there's no missing numbers, duplicate numbers, and so forth. And so I would request that we double our efforts to make sure that sequential numbers are used and that there are no gaps, duplicates, or other lapses in the numbering system for the warrants. This is very, very important to me that this be straightened out immediately.
So, Jim, are you suggesting we not approve these warrants?
Well, the payment of the warrants is certainly in order. They're legitimately incurred obligations of the district.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you, because I think the looking at the counting and the expenditures, I was going to ask the staff, are there any budgetary implications? And if we have any financial concerns with this, so that in, I agree with you, these need to be sequential and we need to redouble our efforts. I'm just wondering about action tonight.
with looking at the numbers, they appear to be duplicate, but they're not because they are date stamped. Now, with regard to changing how we number and keeping them in sequential, we can certainly do that. That's not a problem. But these, because of the date stamp, they're not duplicates. It's just not the best system. Obviously, the system that's offered up is a better system to go through and do them sequentially. But again, these are not actually duplicates because of the date stamp. So I don't see that we need to go back and change anything. But going forward, we can certainly make sure we have everything in a sequential order.
That's your understanding, Chair Hill?
Yes, again, I believe that these are legitimately incurred obligations of the district. We do need to pay them. And for these particular ones with the date stamp, we have two choices. We can either use the date stamp as a unique identifier or renumber these to follow sequentially the numbers that were used the last time. That actually might be the cleanest way to do it, but that would involve additional time.
Well, not being an accountant, but having a little experience in this, is that when I came on the board of OCSD, they were using the AS400 system, and every time there was a journal entry, it would throw the system off, so the warrant numbers would not match the check numbers. And consequently, nobody ever picked up on it for like 9 years. And so nothing sequentially could fall into place ever. And but still the warrant numbers sequentially could fall into place because they were manually fed in. But the check numbers did not match the warrant numbers, which was extremely problematic. But it was not problematic to the accountant because the accountant doesn't look at those things. So I don't see the software system ever being able to do that if you're going to, you know. You have to make journal entries. People make errors. We're humans. So, but you have to have software that's going to be able to reflect that. You have to determine what your priority is. Is it that they're sequential, or is it that they're factual, and that your expenditures match your warrant statements? And I think that your expenditures need to match your warrant statements, and that your checks need to match your warrant statements. But the check numbers need to match the warrant statements. And if you need to spend some money to buy some software that does that, then you need to spend some money to buy some software that does that. And we got beat up really, really bad for spending the money to do the software. So it's catch 22.
So staff, are there any items on here that are, that if we don't take action tonight, that we stand to miss a deadline, a due date, or are there any implications?
Payment to Allied Administrators, the Bank of the West credit card, CalPERS.
Okay. Thank you, Amy. So with that, I'm going to move approval of these warrants tonight, and then based on how this goes, then we can give some direction to staff.
I'll second it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the warrants as presented, noting that there is a unique date stamp on this warrant register with the following sequential numbers, 9862 through 9894 with today's date. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes.
And then I think the direction that we need to give is, I think those are all really good comments tonight, and if there is a way to go back and reconcile or investigate a new software that would eliminate the items that have been identified tonight, that we do that.
Moving on, item four is plant superintendent's report. Mr. Clemens.
Chairman Hill, Board of Directors. When we look in our operations section, we'll see that the plant is performing well within limits. Our effluent numbers are below last year's average, which is a good thing. So our operations are going smoothly. Nothing to report there except for we're running well. In terms of maintenance, we had to troubleshoot and replace an actuator on the boiler. We adjusted a gas regulator also on the boiler as a result of that. We did a hydraulic flush of the trickling filter. As a result of that, we had to unclog the sludge line at the secondary clarifier and unclog the sludge line at the scum hopper. When you flush the trickling filter, a lot of the loose debris from the biological process sloughs off, and it kind of clogs up your lines for the next couple of days. It's pretty typical. And also, we performed all necessary work orders. For work in progress, Garing Taylor & Associates continues to work with the district on the sewer bridge. At our last meeting, I mentioned that we were having a biological assessment done. That is complete. A draft has been submitted. Our engineers have looked at it and reviewed it and recommended some changes. We are also looking at the containment, the type of containment system that we're going to use, whether we hang something or put something in the bottom of the creek. We want to look at a structural analysis for an engineering firm to do a 3D model of the bridge. And also we're looking at the erosion around the banks because the banks are a lot further back than they were, say, 2 years ago. So we have to review the erosion there and see if it becomes necessary for us to move the supports for the pipes back further, for that sewer bridge to go back further. So that's what's going on with the sewer bridge project, the Royal Grande sewer bridge project. We're also working with MKN on the grit removal system. We began planning on installation of mechanical bar screen. That's a subject that we'll cover later in the staff report. We're waiting to get an electrical design or pre-design. For our secondary redundancy project, we have Mike Nunley here. It's another staff report. He'll speak to our redundancy project, where we are with that. And then with the satellite water recourse resources recovery facility, we have scheduled meetings. One of the things was to check with the other agencies. So we're trying to schedule a meeting with PISMO and with other parts of the northern management water or whatever it is and see what we can do about a collective effort at recovering or recycling wastewater. With regard to training, staff attended a biannual safety training session on first aid and CPR. Bookkeeper Simpson attended a training session on accounting practices. Operator 2, Mark Lewis, is currently in training for lab assistant. He's been in the lab for about 4 weeks at this point. And then myself and Operator 2 Arias attended a kickoff meeting for the Central Coast Water Reuse Organization. And we also attended the Governor's Drought Task Force meeting held at Cal Poly. So that completes my report.
Questions for Superintendent Clements?
None at this time.
Yeah, I do have a couple questions for you. Not being a plant supervisor, some of these things are foreign, and you've explained to me that I don't know these flow charts, and so I did take them to a friend of mine who is also a plant supervisor to ask him to explain these a little bit clearer to me, and he was very helpful in explaining some of these, you know, things or, you know, little fossils that live in our water and all that stuff. But what he did say to me that he felt that maybe would be beneficial to the district is that there's a disclaimer on this chart That's, and he basically wrote it down. It says all test results show that the district is in compliance with regulatory climate, with regulatory requirements. And if this statement is true, then it should be put in writing. And he thought that if you put it right below where it says plant data through November 13th, that it actually would show that we stand behind these numbers. And so I was wondering if you'd be willing to do that.
Absolutely. I see no reason not to. Sounds like a good idea.
Okay, thank you. I'll just set that right there for you.
Thank you.
That's all.
Any public comment on the report?
And then Mr. Nunley, is he coming up?
Yeah, in just a minute. Ms. McNeil, you have a comment?
Yeah, Nancy from Oceana. Basically, I was wondering if there are any special precautions that need to happen with the upcoming El Niños, because, you know, we don't want, like, the 2/12 thing to happen again. And is there anything that we can do to prevent some of the sewer from flooding? I mean, we're going to have some torrential downpours, and it's, you know, unprecedented and, you know, hasn't happened in a million years. And so I was wondering if there are any special things that we can put in place to protect ourselves, basically, and if anybody's working on that.
Thanks.
Thank you. Do you have any comment on part of the answer to that? I think relates to the county and how they administer the flap gates on the creek and so forth to alleviate the potential for flooding. But
I will say that we are we've considered all that. We're constantly talking to Garen Taylor. Mike Nunley is here. He's actually, it's part of our upgrade process is reviewing how the plant will fare in a flood condition. So we're actually in the midst of studying that. I know that currently we're equipped to pump up to, and it's not saying we'll get there, but we're equipped if necessary to pump 15 million gallons of water a day through the plant. I don't know how we can be more prepared than that. So I think we're as prepared as we can be. We're constantly looking. We annually attend the county's our emergency preparedness meeting at their county offices so that we can be in line with how the county handles flap gates. And so that's a normal part of what we do. I think that what we do and what we think about, and we appreciate your concern, is that's just, I don't know how to say it, but it's just kind of what we consider all day, every day. So
thank you very much for that.
So John, are there any written procedures other than we just talk about it? I mean, I think Ms. McNeil raises a good point. So I'm just curious, is there something written, are there written procedures that you would follow if an El Nino situation occurred?
We have a tsunami procedure. We have earthquake procedure. We have flooding procedure. We have emergency operating procedure.
So I just wanted to make sure that she didn't think you were just blowing her off, that there is a robust system in place and process in place. And so maybe at some point in the very near future at one of the meetings, maybe we could get into a little bit more detail so we can assure folks that we have plans and procedures and that we are prepared to implement, because as you know, only half of it is having a plan in place. The other half is the implementation of it, and I think we saw some of that play out previously. So I think from a standpoint of best practices, it would be good to just provide that additional information for the community.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you, John.
Okay, with that, we'll receive and file a report. Thank you very much. Item 5 is board action on individual items. 5A is the RFP for redundancy project. And Mr. Clemens, I understand we have Mr. Nunley here for that.
Yes, we staff has recommended that the Board of Directors review the request for proposals, and in this case, a request for qualifications for the redundancy project, and direct staff to proceed with the process. Mr. Nunley is here, and he will give us a presentation on where we are with that.
Thank you. I'm Mike Nunley with MKN. I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk with you tonight about this request for qualification process. First, I wanted to give you an update on permitting, and really to what we'd like to do on December the 2nd at the next board meeting is John Rickenbach with JFR Consulting, that's been working with me on permitting, will come back with me and we'll give you an update on permitting, where we stand, what we see the permitting schedule be, where it is, and what we see the next steps are based on consultation with Coastal Commission and also with county planning. So we've had some initial discussions with both, and I'll bring John back with me because he can speak a whole lot more eloquently to that process than I can. But I would like to start give you an overview of this request for qualification. This is strictly for the engineering design services. And where I'd like to point you in the document, in this draft RFQ that we've prepared, is page 9. Because I think the schedule might be the cleanest way to walk through the steps and talk to you about what we envisioned. We worked on this with Mr. Clemens to put the process together, and we're open to any suggestions or preferences the board might have, but we'd just like to walk you through the draft process we envisioned. So first, our objective would be to, with board approval, with any amendments or changes you might have, would be to issue this request for qualifications for engineering design services by Friday. And we would have a mandatory pre-qualification meeting. So anyone who is interested in proposing or issuing or submitting their qualifications would need to attend that meeting on December the 8th. And the reason you make that mandatory is everybody hears the same information. They all get a chance to ask questions at that time. Other proposers can hear the questions, and it's a good way to start that process. Written questions would be due December the 15th, so they'd have to, any questions they have on the request for qualifications or on the consideration process would have to be submitted by then. We'd post responses to questions on the 18th, and the statements of qualifications would be due January 15th. Give some time over the holidays for folks to adequately respond. The notification of the consultant shortlist. So we recommend that the district give itself some flexibility in the selection process, and that you allow to either shortlist to a couple of consultants, no more than two or three, for interviews. And that notification would occur by January 22nd. So that would give about a week for us to review with Mr. Clemens and whoever else he'd like on his review committee. Respond back to those proposers, notify them who's on the short list. Or if one particularly stood out, based on we've got the evaluation criteria in the RFQ, one particularly stood out, then you'd have the right to go in and negotiate with that top-ranked consultant for some reason. So the next step would be the proposal submittal or district interviews, as the case may be. That'd be the week of February the 1st. There'd be contract negotiation with the top-rate consultant that second week of February. And then consultant selection and board approval would occur sometime around your second February board meeting. So that's kind of the process we'd envisioned. Again, we recommend allowing yourself as much flexibility as possible in that process. The notice to proceed would be issued in March. Our goal would be to have initial feedback from Coastal Commission and also county planning staff and the other regulatory agencies involved by June. So from now, that gives us about 7 months to have gives us a good opportunity to have clarity on it, whatever permit conditions there might be. And then we can feed those to that design engineer, and they can incorporate them as mitigation measures in their design. So The goal would be have final design documents and issuance of any final permits by June 2017, and then take the project to bid summer to fall of 2017 would be that the bid, the timing for bids, and then construction would occur between fall 2017 and fall 2019. The reason there's a long time in there for construction is lead time for treatment equipment is a long process, and so we you allow about a couple of years in there for that process to take place. So the that is an overview. There's plenty of other things in here that we could discuss if you have questions or want to walk through them. But that's the process that we had envisioned and that we'd recommend for the for the for the district.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Mr. Nunley?
No, I just wanted to just clarification. So tonight you're just asking for us to take action on the RFP, correct, in that process? Okay. And I do have one question. So sure. In the time frame you just laid out as far as design to construction, how long have you allowed him for environmental review?
So the assumption here is that that environmental review and design would run concurrent.
Okay.
And so with that process starting, notice to proceed issued to the designer in March, we're beginning the permitting process now. And you'll get an update from us at the next meeting. Then in our opinion is that should allow adequate time for that consultation and then permit issuance, including the you know, some sort of most likely mitigated negative declaration,
right,
although
right.
I'm not the one to make that call. And then if there is a, so let's say a coastal development permit, we'll talk about that next time, that those are the assumptions.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And the other commitment we'd make is to keep the board updated on that process as it would proceed. As you all know, permitting can go down many different paths, and our objective is to identify what the constraints are early. In the work plan, we identified, we know there are concerns with flooding for the site, we know there are concerns with soil conditions, but plants all over the, wastewater plants all over the country are built at the lowest spots in the floodplain. And so it's something that's very common, but we want to take, we want to be proactive in consultation with agencies, identify the constraints, and bring them to you as early as possible.
Yeah, I do have a few questions. First, I would like to start with staff. I wasn't able to find the amount, the fiscal impact. One, how much was it to prepare the RFQ, and how much was the RFQ for? And so could you point that to me? I'd appreciate that. And then secondly, I wasn't able to find it in the annual budget. And so if you would give me the cost center on the annual budget, that would also help me immensely. So those that's just a start. So Mr. Nunley, my first redundancy program. So let's start out with your anticipated project schedule, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
This is I took this when I first read this as, okay, this is a schedule for the sole sourcing. Because when you select three bidders, it's basically a sole source. You know, because you're picking three agencies that you have confidence in and you're not putting it out for open bid for others. So, which is acceptable, you know, in arenas. It is, and we may not all like it, but it is, it's practice.
One comment, if you don't mind. So, what we would do with the request for qualifications is this would get blasted to the world. We want to get statements of qualifications from
but you mentioned
whoever's
three.
Out there. Yes, ma'am. So the goal would be we take those statements of qualifications, we review them. If eight come in or ten come in or four come in, and we narrow those down to two or three for interviews or further consideration. So that's how that process would go. We don't want to just invite only two or three firms. And so I just wanted to clarify that's how we
okay,
would
so see you're putting in the extra step of asking them to please submit a letter showing that you're qualified to apply.
Yes, ma'am. In fact, this whole this document, all the requirements herein, are all part of that statement of qualifications. Okay. So what they're going to submit is roughly a 30-page plus document, identifying where they've done similar types of projects, who their key staff are, how many times they've worked together on similar projects.
Right.
They're going to submit their rate schedules and their standard fee schedules in the back,
uh-huh.
so we can compare and make sure we're looking at similar unit costs, if you will, for the different mm-hmm. consultants. So that'll all be part of that solicitation package. Then we'll narrow it down to 2 to 3 firms, or possibly the very top ranked for the interview and the detailed fee proposal.
Okay, that helps me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so under written questions that are due, you give yourself 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you putting yourself on a tight leash, but if you look at the calendar, the 18th is a Friday, right? So you might as well just give yourself till Monday, because just 2 more days, Saturday and Sunday. You know, if you want to work over that weekend, at least you give yourself and that time. And 5 days is always better than 3 days, and you're not pressured to release the recommendations Friday night. So I definitely would consider that. And as I read this, it shows that you will be the lead on that you'll be the lead on the permitting, and you're not a CEQA engineer, right?
Right. Our sub-consultant, JFR Consulting, will be doing that. So part of our team will be doing that.
Okay. So that leads me into, are we going to have to do a NEPA?
What will most likely happen, and John would be the right person to answer this, but I'll take a stab at it. The thing I can say for certain is state revolving loan funds
mm-hmm.
are one of the funding sources you're pursuing, and that was in your rate study.
Correct.
SRF requires that you do the CEQA process mm-hmm. plus what they call CEQA plus, and there are certain elements of NEPA or certain elements of the project you have to analyze according to NEPA process
Correct.
As well. I believe it's biological and cultural, but don't quote me on that. But John can speak to that at the next meeting. So we know at least we're going to do those.
Do you think that we'll be doing a negative declaration or an EIR or a mitigated negative?
Well, that's another good question. The discussions that we've had internally and kind of what we had put in the work plan is we'd anticipate a mitigated negative declaration.
Okay.
Might be appropriate. A couple things in your favor is you're working entirely on the plant site.
Uh-huh.
There aren't some issues here that you might have on some other projects with things like visual impact and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But in the mitigation measures, though, they could be, I believe it was Vice Chair Scholes had mentioned, his experience with mitigated neg decks, some of the mitigation measures can be pretty extensive. But
all right, great. And who'll be preparing the coastal development permit?
That would be,
back to JR.
That would be, well, John Rickenbach.
Okay.
Is preparing a proposal for the district.
Okay.
To start that process.
Sorry, I've got to write this down.
Yep.
Let's see. So then they'll determine later whether we need a NEPA or not, right? And then at that point, then it'll roll out who will handle some of the subs and the other studies that, like the NPDES permits and all that project stuff. Okay, great.
And part of our current scope of work includes the development of a permitting plan.
Yes.
That will lay all that out.
Okay, great.
And so that's already under...
That was my last question.
So we'll have that, and we'll talk through some of those issues just to give you a kind of a precursor at the next meeting,
uh-huh.
and then we'll bring back more information on that as the consultations proceed.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
And what cost center was that, sir?
We've budgeted $35,000 for this year for the redundancy project for getting it started.
So. Okay. And are we within budget?
We are currently within budget, yes.
And do you foresee that going over?
Well, that we don't see it over, going over our current authorization.
You don't foresee it going over? Great. Thank you very much. And what cost center was that under?
That was in that's in Fund 20.
Fund 20? Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have no additional questions. At this time, we should have public comment on this item. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. Hearing none, we'll come back to the board.
I move that we direct staff to proceed with the RFP process as outlined in the staff report and presented tonight.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that we proceed with the RFQ process as was outlined by staff and Mr. Nunley. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schultz?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Item 5B is status of personnel policy manual update and review. Mr. Clemens.
Yes, we're recommending that the Board of Directors accept the status report regarding the process of updating the personnel policy manual and provide direction as needed for future updates. Alicia Laura of Laura Services is here, and she will present the changes we've made up to now and what we're looking forward to.
Once again, good evening. Chairman Hill and directors. So the personnel policy manual serves as a guiding set of rules and regulations for a number of operational procedures related to personnel administration and business. Policy sections are created and are updated as needed. It's a best practice to review the entire document from time to time. It was last updated in the fall of 2005 as a document in full. And since that time, the Board of Directors has adopted various updates, amendments, and even added new sections, as well as brought in sections that were standalone policies that fit within the confines of the Personnel Policy Manual. Over the past year, staff has been working with myself to update specific portions as needed based on the operational needs of the district. And staff is currently researching historical documents and standalone updates to incorporate them into a full document so that we have everything in one place as it relates to the Personnel Policy Manual. In addition, staff is working to prioritize the sections most needing updating, and the goal is to have a full review of the policy manual over the next year. So we're at the tail end here of 2015, so I would say 2016, because it some policies may need to be reviewed but not updated, and others will. So it just depends on the particular content. So in the staff report, I outlined for you the policies that we have updated since the last year. The table of contents had to be updated, the vacation schedule, the administrative leave policy, the cell phone. We actually extracted administrative leave out of vacation. It was within the confines of that, and it's a separate benefit, and it's not a vested benefit, so it was more prudent to have it standalone. It's a use it or lose it annually. The cell phone policy, that was mandated. We had to address that. State law required that we address employees using their personal cell phones for district business. Debit card, job descriptions, some of which were updated. The district administrator job description, specifically the district plant superintendent job description. The following policies have been identified as next in line for review and possible update. And that was just my personal review as a human resources consultant. I thought that the definitions could be looked at, the chain of command, recruitment, family and medical leave, sexual harassment, and shift supervisor. And I picked those because often those are the ones that case law or the legislature mandates, and kind of wanted to review those, although I think the entire personnel policy manual does need to be looked at to make itself inclusive. For example, under just general harassment, there is a clause in Section 1000 that excludes the board of directors and others from the confines of the policy. However, the law requires that everybody comes under that section. So just small changes to incorporate in areas where we need to cover more than just regular staff employees. So with the updates, the way it typically runs is we present them to the board. If they accept them as is, we incorporate them. If there are changes or modifications, we can bring it back for final at the next board meeting. So that concludes my report, unless you have questions for me.
Any questions?
None at this time.
I guess I'm a little bit at a loss. I expected to see something more than a list of what you have, but not having access to the list, not having access to the actual policy, you know, what, not having access to the definitions, not having access to the family leave and medical leave policy. I think that this policy has been worked on. Well, let's see, how long has Mr. Wallace been gone? Almost 3 years now? 3 years they've been trying to put together a policy. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of policies and procedure documents that can be used from other entities. I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, it's pretty standard template stuff. Maybe somebody needs to explain to me more as to why the board has this much of a policy document.
Well, the request was to provide an update of the status report of the, just to update the board as to what we were doing. The personal policy manual is this document right here, and it's available to the board at any time. So
I searched that web page up and down. I must have spent 6 hours on that page trying to pull pieces together.
I'm not sure. I can't speak for staff, so I don't think that the personnel policy manual is an internal document. It is available upon request, but I don't know that it's on the website, and I don't monitor the website.
Yeah. So
I'm not aware of that, but certainly we can make that available to you.
Okay. Can I ask that we get a copy of what we do have available, so then we can see what we have,
absolutely,
what needs to be updated, and then we can move forward and maybe expedite this process.
Certainly.
Because
I'm sure that
even nonprofits, I mean, everybody has this. It's just, you know, you work in the field.
Right, right. And there, like I said, I did bring it along in
case
there were questions about specific sections. We can provide the entire, it's in an electronic format. We can provide it to you.
That'd be great.
Provide it to the whole board. And then you can review it, and maybe at the next meeting you can give us direction as to where you see the priorities, however the board chooses to address this. In the meantime, we're going to keep plugging along because these things take a while anyway.
Yeah.
And so without further direction this evening, that's what we can do, whatever the pleasure of the board is.
I think my pleasure is to get access to the document.
Okay. We will request that the board be provided with copies.
I didn't know if you were going to open this up to the public. I think we were just at the stage of asking questions, so I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Any further questions at this time?
I have comments, but I wanted to hear from the public if we're going to open it up.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there public comments on this item?
Good evening. My name is April. You know that. I wanted to address the fact that I did a public records request roughly the end of August, maybe the beginning of September, for the job description in particular of the bookkeeping position. And the document that I was provided was dated 2007. But the 7,000 section, which is job descriptions, according to this current agenda, has already been done. So I'm not quite sure, is the done parts available to the public? I don't really know what's going on, because when I requested it, I thought I was getting the most current one, which is what I was going for. So if I didn't get the most current one, and there really is a current one that we've paid almost $19,000 to date for, I would request that, please. Thank you.
Thank you. We are concerned with public records requests, of course, and would try to assure that the most recent document would have been provided. Hopefully that is the case. I'm sure staff will double-check that. And not every part of every document is updated each time.
I have a question after public comment.
Is there any other public comment?
So again, a question. Nancy from Oceano. My question is there a code of ethics included in the policy and procedure manual, or is that a separate manual? And if there is, if there even exists a code of ethics for this district. Thank you.
Thank you. Presumably there is, and I believe that would be perhaps Ms. Lara could address that.
Yes, thank you. That was one of the policies that I noted had been adopted by the Board of Directors but was not included in the main document. It had meant to be, but it was not merged. So it's there. It's on the books. There's the core values, and then there's the code of conduct. So I'm not sure if code of ethics covers code of conduct, but those two documents are available. They were adopted, and I believe in, when I tried to do the research, I found that they were adopted in 2010. So the documents that I was provided may not be the most current, and when the documents were returned to the district, from Mr. Wallace's tenure, they were in literally in boxes with no semblance of order. So we are in the process of trying to determine what the most recent documents were and trying to bring back some order to everything. And it is a long process. So appreciate the comments, and we'll be more diligent with that. As far as a code of ethics, I haven't seen something that's titled that, but there are several documents that speak to ethics, so I would imagine that speak to it, although I don't see one that's actually called Code of Ethics. It's Code of Conduct and Core Values, mm-hmm. What I know about so far.
Thank you. Is there any other comment on this subject?
My public records request was granted on August 31st, and I have to correct that the effective date of what I was given was February 2005, not 7.
When did you request it?
I think we're getting off the track. So are there, again, any other public comments on this particular item?
I did want to clarify on job description section 7000. It is just a definition of the purpose of job descriptions. The request that the member of the public spoke about, each job description has its own number in the 7000 series. And so I believe the bookkeeper is in the 7000. 1060 series, or I'm off the top of my head. So that one has not been updated. Mm-hmm. So I believe she received the correct one. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, hearing none. Comments, John?
Yeah, let me just say, Alicia, thank you. Nice report. I mean, I understand these policies are all over the place, and we're trying to pull them together. And according to your staff report, there are certain sections that have been updated, and you're basically looking at the next level or next set and some direction on that, correct? Okay. I did want to ask a question that Mr. President when it brought it up. Is there a nepotism policy or something associated in the policies now, or is that something that we would probably need to?
I did point that out previously, that that was something that we would want to work on. There isn't a policy that specifically says nepotism, but there is a provision that covers part of that in the recruitment process. So, and it talks about employment of relatives and supervision specifically. So it is more or less the beginning of a nepotism policy, but I made a recommendation that we probably should address that.
I recall that. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Certainly. And the other thing I did want to add on, you had talked about code of conduct, but nothing in here to talk about code of ethics. But I just wanted to be clear for folks who are in the audience and watching at home that all of us in our respective roles with our respective city councils or whether it's with the district are required to complete, I believe it's AB 1234.
1234, correct. And there also is an ethics section in the Board of Directors bylaws.
Yes, and we must do that every 2 years. So there is a code of ethics that we must comply with
and
as
that document does exist.
Very good, thank you.
That doesn't cover staff.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think we're heading in a good direction. I think collating all this, taking a comprehensive view, combining it into one location will be very helpful. Updating those sections that need to be updated, I think, will be very helpful. And then going forward, when there are requests for information by the public, that it will be done in a timely manner and it will be accurate information. So I think what staff has presented here tonight and they're asking for direction on, I'm fine moving forward with their requests and with this process. So I think the next time we're going to see a lot more, a bigger volume of policies and papers that we're going to have to review and discuss, correct? Okay. I don't have any specific questions, but those are my thoughts.
Thank you. I also appreciate the update and look forward to the ongoing reviews that are in process. Mary, any additional comment?
Yeah. This would, I guess, go towards staff. First of all, you wrote on in your staff report, right? The staff report as presented has no fiscal impact. That's not what fiscal consideration means. There is a fiscal impact. There's a fiscal impact in designing this program, and in fact we've spent $19,000 on this report. So that's not fiscal consideration is not what we mean. What we mean is what do we anticipate the project costing, not what do we anticipate writing the staff report costs. And then also once again is I couldn't find it in the budget, in the annual budget. So if you could just point me to the line item that it's in, if it's in 20, just point to me where it is in 20, and that would be helpful. And then also, too, Lori, you said another year for us to get it done, you said.
Yes, if I could clarify. I was not originally
contracted with to do specifically the personnel policy manual. It was to handle human resources oversight of whatever the staff needed.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of money that I've been paid for covers a number of personnel matters, not just the personnel policy manual.
Okay.
Having said that, the reason that I said a year was just to give you a time frame of what I thought would be reasonable for a document of this magnitude. It's going to take prioritizing it. It's going to take trying to find all the policies that have been adopted by resolution and then pulling them into this document for your review and then making a recommendation of which ones should be updated. And that it won't be something that I'm working on full-time. In fact, I don't work full-time for this district. I'm a consultant. So that's why I wanted to give it plenty of time so that there wouldn't be an expectation that this is something that could happen quickly.
Right.
So okay. Whatever the board chooses to prioritize would be what we follow.
Okay, great.
Okay. And with regard to budget, I'm not sure where you got $19,000 from. That's not the case. I'm not sure where anybody got $19,000 from.
Okay, so
So where it is in the budget is in district administration. We did anticipate this cost, and we did count it. So it's in district administration.
So would that be in 20?
No, that's in 19.
It's in 19. Okay, great. Because they're lumped, so it's hard to try to guess what's in that line item. So I can only ask, you know. If it's in where you have it broke down in the back, right, great. But if it's not in there, then I can only guess where it is. So thank you for pointing that to me.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, our action tonight is receive and file the report. Thank you very much. Thank you for the clarification on the cost of the project.
Jim, I think she was also looking for direction on those. She said the following policies have been identified as next in line for review and possible updates, and if we're in agreement with that, then I think we're good to move forward.
Do we need a motion to do that?
Sure.
Always best to use a motion to give Ms. Laura clear direction.
So move that the sections that we move forward with the following policies as next in line for review and updates. That would be section 2000 definitions, 2010 chain of command, 2020 recruitment, section 4025 family medical leave, section 507 sexual harassment, section 5080 harassment, and then section 7020 shift supervisor.
Can I add a friendly amendment to that?
Sure.
That a policies and procedures manual be created and that a draft version be provided to the board for updates and adoption.
We already have a policies and procedures manual.
So if we have it, then distribute it and we can upgrade it. So you're just saying.
So let's do this. So there's I put a motion, if you'll second that motion.
Second.
And then, depending on how we vote on that, then we can give staff that direction.
Is there any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes.
And then, Mary, I think you were talking about providing some direction with respect to providing whatever we have right now that is in a policy manual. I'm not quite sure how you'd need to present it as what we have
just
existing.
Just ask that the policies and procedures manual that exists at this current time be released to the board of directors and anybody from the public who would want it.
I think that's a good direction.
You know, and that it be reviewed. You continue on with the first motion that was made, and if anybody has any corrections, then it be added to a future agenda.
So I would say just it's available to the public. Just redouble efforts, and if anyone's got any concerns, provide those to Mr. Clemens. He'll consult with Ms. Laura and they'll have to figure out when's the best way to bring it back, those comments back to the board.
One final comment on that. Just for the public to remember, we will provide it, but the staff is still looking through the boxes that we have for other resolutions that may have been adopted that may not have been incorporated into this document that should have been.
Right.
So we would be providing it with that understanding that we're still working on trying to get it all together.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to make sure everyone understands that clearly this district goes under the management of an individual or a firm for many years, and this is typically what happens when they're that individual now or that firm is no longer here. We have to find where those documents are and put them in a consolidated document, and the end product is going to be much better than we have now. So I think we're just asking folks, and I think you used the word expectation earlier, that it is a process, and at the end we will have good policy. That's the goal, in a single binder that's easy to access, whether it's in a hard copy or whether it is online or in a digital form.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
To amplify Director Schultz's comment and for possibly benefit of Ms. Lucy, the former administrator delivered additional boxes of records that had been maintained at an off-site location. Was very recently returned to the district, and therefore staff has only in the very recent past been able to access and look at those records that were only recently returned, and there may in fact even be more forthcoming in the near future. So
I have a lot of empathy coming from Oceano and being through four bad directors in 20 years of destruction. So it'll end. Trust me, it'll end. But I do have a lot of sympathy for staff.
Okay, moving on. 5C is billing administration. Mr. Clemens.
Okay, board, in this manner, staff has recommended that the board of directors adopt a resolution authorizing interim district administrator into a service charge billing administration agreement with MBS. At the board meeting on October 24th, the board directed staff to begin the process of joining the SLO County tax roll for district billing services. During that meeting, we mentioned, staff mentioned that we would be talking to MBS about that. In our conversations, MBS has submitted an offer and a contract, which our legal counsel is right now going over the contract. So the attachment in this box is just the offer of a contract from MBS. And so what we're asking is once legal counsel goes over and makes sure that the contract items are in order and conditions, that the board would authorize staff to enter into a contract so that we can move forward on our tax roll billing.
And this is strictly for tax rolls. This has nothing to do with billing for OCSD, correct? The billing for the Oceano residents will still be carried out by the sanitation district.
Yes.
Because as I read through the paperwork, the argument for bringing on NBS was that you didn't have the staffing to provide billing services. Well, that's what it said in the minutes.
Long-term billing services. Short-term, we can do.
Okay.
Long-term,
I just wanted to make sure that was still the case.
Okay. Questions from
the John? Yeah. John, under fiscal considerations, you say the fees quoted by NBS are within the district's current billing budget. What's that budget amount?
Right now the district is budgeted $66,000 for this current year.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll say, even though I normally would wait to make a comment, just some guidance for you. I think you do a good job in stating fiscal considerations. Just, you know, in future, just put the number down and be consistent. And I think that's easy enough for you to do. So, thank you.
And so they're only going to be doing the tax rolls for $19,750?
They quoted us $10,000.
I think they quoted you $10,000 and then $9,000
for a year after that.
For every year after that.
If
for the first year, it would be $19,750.
No, for the first year, it's $10,000.
Okay, can you get clarification on that for us, please? Because I read it as two line items, the first initial $10,000 and $9,050.
Okay, and the initial amount would be $10,000 to set it up. At that point, we would be set up, and at the end of that next year, they would charge us $9,000 to renew the information if we needed them to do it. There's also a chance that we could do it on our own. The point is, it was $10,000 set up. You don't pay $19,000. You pay $10,000, then you pay another $9,000 when the next year rolls over so they can submit the information once again.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, John. That's consistent with what you reported previously.
Yes. Any other questions from the board for staff? Is there public comment on this item?
Beatrice Spencer, Rio Grande. I just want to say thank you to whoever pulled the warrant that led to all of this, because I know one was paid, the $22,000 to, or whatever it was, to $6,660, whatever we've talked about for so many times, to Oceano, and it wasn't until the second one appeared very shortly thereafter that this even came to light. And so to whoever, I don't care who pulled it, for whatever reason, I think the ratepayers are in a much better situation now, paying $9,000 per month than what we were paying to any of the, I mean, it's so much more reasonable for a ratepayer. And I think it brings to light Ms. Aiken's comments earlier about the financial situation of the three districts, that the three entities that we have, and especially for the residents of Oceano. I think any place that we can save them money, save us all money, but especially those who suffer from the biggest hardships down there. So good job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on this item?
Well, of course, I have to disagree. I don't think it's a good job to step out of your job description and arbitrarily pull warrants. On the other hand, my question for this NBS billing administration agreement, is this for all three entities to be billed through the county property tax rolls, or is it just Oceano?
All three entities.
Okay, and were there any other bidders to make this happen other than NBS, or was it sole sourced basically to the San Francisco company? Thank you.
Thank you. Is that, do we have an answer on the?
Right now, it's an offer. We actually contacted someone else. We hadn't heard back from them. So we heard back from NBS, and that's who we have to work with.
Thank you. Any other comment?
Good evening. It was said tonight that temporarily the district could do this billing themselves. First, I do want to say that, Ms. Lucy, I understand your confusion, because I was confused as well with that initial price of $10,000 and then an annual price of $9,000. I made that same mistake. I thought it was $19,000 to start, just based on how it was worded. But my concern is, having been preparing to understand this position inside the district for bookkeeping, the bookkeeper's responsibility is to do payables, receivables, payroll, and bookkeeping. We are outsourcing bookkeeping, we're outsourcing payroll, we're outsourcing payables. Why are we still outsourcing receivables? What is being done?
That's my question.
I'm saying, why aren't we doing this in-house? This is a bookkeeper's job. It per the district's description of the bookkeeper. I would just like that to be an option as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. We'll come back to the board.
I move we adopt the resolution authorizing interim director administrator to enter into a service charge building administration agreement with NBS. So I'm going to move the staff recommendation.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that we proceed with the staff recommendation. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
No.
Vice Chair Schultz?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Motion passes 2-1. Moving on to 5D, mechanical bar screen electrical engineer contract. Superintendent.
Chairman Hill?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I thought we were strictly talking about the NBS proposal. I didn't know that you had folded the resolution into it, into that discussion. My mistake. My issue is with the resolution.
So the question being, do we need to separately?
My problem is that we need to discuss this resolution. And I don't know how to properly do that at this point.
Well, legal counsel?
I had a feeling you'd be asking me to chime in. Well, the motion and seconded, so the vote is completed. It'd be up to the discretion of the chair if you wanted to reconsider and separate the votes out. But at this point, there's no further action that needs to be taken.
So we had opportunity to comment on the matter when it was before us.
I always said my mistake. So you're going to do whatever you're going to do.
If I may suggest, Chairman Hill, that Commissioner Lucy makes her position clear for the minutes, and that way your position is solidified.
Just for the minutes, I'm opposed to resolution no number due to the quality of the work, the bad titling that it's made out to the city of Santa Maria, and that it's just poor workmanship. It's just bad quality work. So let it be on the record that I'm not going to accept this anymore. So that's why I'm opposed to it. We can do better. So you guys can accept it.
Having read it again, I'm somewhat at a loss to.
I think we voted. Let's move on.
Yeah.
There was public comment on the item. The staff report includes the resolution. So we're done.
Moving on. Item 5D is mechanical bar screen electrical engineer contract. Mr. Clemens.
Good evening once again, board. Staff recommends that the board authorize interim district administrator to enter into a contract with Gray Electrical Consulting and Engineering for preliminary design of mechanical bar screen an electrical instrumentation system not to exceed $8,300. What's at, in our current fiscal year budget, we budgeted $325,000 for the development and installation of a mechanical bar screen. Nunley and Associates had moved forward with design, but at the time they moved forward, we did have a licensed electrician on staff. So at that point, it was staff's decision to actually do that portion of the work in-house with the help of an instrumentation. Since that time, we no longer have an electrician in-house. Not only an associates have moved as far as they can without having an electrical design, and so that staff is now asking at this point that we can enter to a contract with Gray Electrical Consulting and Engineering, who not only an associates associate with, so that we can go ahead and get a preliminary design for the electrical portion of this mechanical bar screen so that we can prepare an RFP to be issued for this project.
And the proposed not to exceed cost would be $8,300?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Questions from the board, John?
No, I don't have any questions. I just wanted to highlight, I think you didn't mention fiscal considerations. You were talking about the not to exceed amount, and it looks like we've got a $325,000 budgeted for this project.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you.
Mary, questions? Is there public comment on this item?
Yeah, so what I'm looking at is 5D, mechanical bar screen, electrical engineering contract. Okay, and then there's a brief paragraph, not to exceed $8,300. Legal contract will be posted after review by district legal counsel. Are there any hidden resolutions in this item? Because the previous item says nothing about a resolution. The previous item that we just got yelled at about says billing administration. Staff recommends the board adopt a resolution authorizing interim district administrator to enter into a service charge billing administration agreement with the NBS. What resolution? There's no language about a resolution.
We've moved
beyond. Is there a resolution hidden within this 5D item? That's my question. Thank you.
To answer your question, there is no resolution associated with item 5D, as there clearly was with 5C. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none.
Mr. Chair, may I interject?
Please.
There is a contract attached to the staff report. It is a contract in the form from Gray Electrical Consulting that is not approved by the General Counsel. The reason the staff report refers to approval by the General Counsel is that we have our own form that we've adopted for the district that has our indemnity provisions, our insurance provisions. So what you would be authorizing is the director to enter into a future contract that's approved by the general counsel. And that is why there's not a resolution attached to it, and there's not our general contract or form contract attached to it.
And we would expect that any contract that the district entertains would be reviewed by our counsel and on a form.
Yes. Before I sign off on it, I would approve it as to form. If it conforms to the $8,300 limitation of the not to exceed amount.
So I move we continue this item to the first meeting in December, which gives legal counsel the opportunity to review and put it in the proper format.
What's staff's recommendation? Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we delay this item for one meeting to the first meeting of December such that the contract can be reviewed and approved for format by district legal counsel. Is there any additional comment on the delay? Okay, hearing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schultz?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Item passes unanimously. Moving to 5E, this is district unanticipated expenditures in fiscal year 2015-16. Mr. Clemens.
We place this on the agenda under the direction of Alternate Lucy.
Director Lucy.
I'm sorry, Director Lucy.
Would you care to introduce the item? And
yes, I had asked several times for a list of unanticipated expenditures because of the pipe and the changeover in staff and when you're running an organization, you have unexpected expenditures. It's very common. It was a horrifying experience trying to get the list. So on that note, according to the district, there was only three unexpected expenditures. So staff has recommended that it be crammed on a shelf. So I'm going to bring this back at a later date when I can go through the budget line item by line item and every single warrant packet and every single contract and every single expense, because I know that organizationally everybody runs over. Everybody does it. It's the nature of the beast. So I'll table this till a later date, till it can be completed.
Okay.
So we'll table the item.
And I'll bring it back. I'll inform the chair to please add it to the agenda.
Item six is miscellaneous items, miscellaneous oral communications. Superintendent Clemens. None?
I have none.
Miscellaneous written communications.
None for me.
Item seven, a report from our interim district administrator.
Yes, we added a new feature to our board agenda. It's going to be, future agenda items. And obviously, on the December 2nd date, we're looking forward to having Mr. Nunley speak on permitting with regard to the redundancy project. We're also expecting to have Mr. Knutson's report on that date. On November 20th, at this point, we're expecting to have our 218 hearing for our potential rate increase. And at our next meeting also, we're going to bring back a resolution in a proper format for the mechanical bar screen.
Were you going to comment on the January?
No, I'm sorry. He jumped to January, and that just kind of threw me for a loop.
I'm sorry. I got out of order. This is my first time with this one. So.
No, I like the new item. I think this is good to kind of say these are what are anticipated. They're not locked in concrete, but this is what we're expecting. So proceed.
And as part of what I have to say tonight, I want to thank Ms. Laura. She's put in a lot of work for the district with regard to the item that was discussed tonight and many other items. She's been of a great service to the district. She's put in a lot of work, and I think that the district should be very appreciative of what she's done with our personnel policy, being that it hadn't been updated since 2005. She and the staff was handled a mess with regard to that, and she's handled it on behalf of the staff in a very good manner. And I think that to thank her and commend her wouldn't be out of order. I think that to pick on somebody for taking a mess and making it good would not be the best approach. She's done a great job, like I said, with being handed a mess, and we appreciate that. And we want to thank you, Ms. Lurie. We want you to continue helping our staff with what we're doing with our commitment, with our policy. And that's all I have.
So, John.
We would echo the thanks.
Yeah. All of us appreciate Alicia. So, I guess I need clarification from you. Are you saying that you'd like special presentations or future agenda items as a category on the agenda? Because I heard special presentations from the list that you did, but then I also heard future agenda items. So I just need a little bit of clarification so I can follow you.
Well, future agenda items, both of them would be part of the district administrator's report. We call it a district administrator's report because it's kind of wide open. It gives the district administrator an opportunity to clarify any issues, to point to any future issues, and to make any presentations that may be necessary. So, yes, that could be included. Again, it's certainly open to interpretation in some at some levels, but yeah, it's future agenda items and an opportunity for the district administrator to share whatever.
Okay. What I would ask of you, right, so there's no misinterpretation, because when I read it goes verbal report by interim director, and I went, oh, no, we're not getting away from written reports, are we? You know, and then I thought, no, that can't be. And so I erased that from my mind. But you see how people can take it to the extreme. You know, so that's not your intent, to get away from written reports. Your intent is to give us an update of where we're going in the future. So that's great. I wholeheartedly support you in that.
Okay, and I want to add, it's a little bit interesting because I am the superintendent right now and the district administrator, but it'll actually be even more clarified when I'm superintendent again and we have a district administrator. And so it may seem a little garbled at this point, but looking forward to our structure, our coming structure, to actually make more sense at that point, I believe.
I agree. But I do have future agenda items.
At this point, we are on item 8 and item 9, and I would ask our district legal counsel to please introduce the item before public comment, and then allow the public to comment on the items.
And
Mr.
when
Chair?
Are you going to take future agenda items?
Future agenda items are not specifically on the agenda. You can request that future agenda items be put on the agenda.
But I'd ask, we have a quarterly report?
We had miscellaneous oral communications and miscellaneous written communications already, which would have been an appropriate time to do that. So at this point, I want to go ahead with the closed session announcement.
Okay, well, I have three things that I'd like added to future agenda items. Our quarterly fiscal report, the Knutson report, and a Prop 218. Thank you.
And move forward with the closed session announcement.
Mr. Chair, board members, the district will hold three closed session matters this evening, two on existing litigation under the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus the State Water Resources Control Board. The second litigation matter is the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus the Special District Risk Management Authority. And finally, the third closed session will be on conference with legal counsel, public employment, recruitment of district administrator. Thank you.
Is there public comment on the closed session items?
I had Debbie Peterson, City of Grover Beach, and I did have some things I wanted to pass to the board if possible. And I believe there's still a copy at the back for the public if they'd like a copy of it, or I can give them mine when I'm done. The first one, talking about the hiring, is the simplest one, but I think it's been apparent in public comment tonight and some of the issues that have been dealt with is that we really do need an administrator. And possibly more than anything else, the issues that have gone on in the district over the course of the last 10, 12 years have been administrative issues. And so I'm hoping that the board will consider that. And if you will look at the times when the district has run well, we haven't had a full-time administrator. We haven't needed a full-time administrator. So I hope that you would take a look at what those who've run the district well have required and take a look at what the job has required and what's worked successfully. Now moving on to the court case, I was asked a question a few days ago of how much money has been spent so far on court cases, and I couldn't answer that because I hadn't looked at it this year. And so I went back and searched on my computer, and I found a memo dated March 19th, 2013, and that's a memo from John Wallace to the board. And as of October 2012, the district had spent a total of $650,556. And that is the memo that's the first two pages of what I've given you. And then if you look at the red information, this information was taken off county auditor's information that was submitted regarding expenses of the district. So presumably that can also be trusted. And so you look at those red figures. So we've got up to 2012, and that we've got $650,556. And then if you add what was spent in 2013 on legal fees and add in the budgeted for 2014 and the budgeted for 2015, that adds another $901,000. And so our total legal fees since up to 2012 for the lawsuit, and then I'm just lumping all the legal fees together after 2012, are $1,551. $1,551,557 for a $1.1 million fine. And I just have to say to you that as an engaged, concerned citizen, $1.1 million fine is outrageous, but then to spend over $1.5 million fighting it is obscene.
Thank you. Is there any other comment on this item? Or any of the other closed session items?
When is the madness going to end?
Thank you. Is there any other comment on any of the closed session items? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to closed session.
Okay, don't fight over it.
We're coming back to order after closed session. Thank you very much for your patience. I will ask District Legal Counsel to report out of the closed session, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The district held a closed session on the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus the Water Resources Control Board. While there was no reportable action, the district, by unanimous vote, authorized a release of a memo from Melissa Thorne dated November 17th, 2015 to the Board of Directors that consists of 7 pages total, and that will be available on the district website. In the second matter, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus the Special District Risk Management Authority, a status report was given. There is no reportable action. And on conference with legal counsel, public employment, title, recruitment of district administrator, there was direction to staff given. That concludes my closed session report. I would like to mention that the litigation has will not have really any new developments for quite some time, and that's just the nature of litigation. So we will not be seeing this on future agendas, but we will put it on when there is new information to report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Concludes my report.
Thank you very much. That concludes the business of the evening. So.
No, we're adjourned.
We're adjourned.